Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from beautiful San Francisco, California.
Today, Jill and I talk about land investment opportunity, county by county. Yesterday, we talked about it state by state. And all week this week, it's land investment by the numbers, let's say. Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Kathleen asks, so I'm about to post my listings on LandWatch. I have them posted everywhere else, including my website. Looking at LandWatch, I came across a very similar parcel in the same county listed by Land Century. Okay, no problem. As I was reading the description, it all seemed very familiar. Apparently, whomever at Land Century that wrote the description for their parcel actually copied, word for word, my description for my parcel from my website and Craigslist listings with all the taglines and descriptive phrases. The only thing they changed was the legal description. Literally everything copied word for word. Granted, our written descriptions certainly are protected, or are they? If the content was developed by me and published on my website with no usage rights indicated, do I actually own it? Other than being pretty irked by this, I feel like I need to rewrite my description before advertising on LandWatch. However, I have the parcel listed advertised all over the place and really don't want to go back and change it. Change all the listings because Land Century decided to lift my descriptions. Thoughts?
Yeah, here's my thoughts. You have enough to do.
Yeah. Here's how I see this.
And I think you were there first, so it's their bad, not yours. Can you go after them? Probably not.
Here's how I see this. That copying that, it really is sincerely the best form of flattery.
Yeah.
They really did. And I would not go change it.
No.
I wouldn't even care.
Me either.
You know what's great? It's like, you know, obviously they can't write their own descriptions. You're obviously killing it. We know that one. And who's to say, by the way, every buyer that comes along is reading yours. Hopefully they're reading yours first.
Yeah.
So I'm going to trust that. And you know what? And if you have those exact same size property and everything like that, undercut them by $50.
Yeah, for sure.
Just do that.
Yeah, I've spent more time adjusting the price than anything else.
Exactly. It'll sing to them.
Do you ever notice that recently, in the last few years, you hear all these bands remaking old songs? Well, what happened was the trademark laws changed that you don't have to get permission. This person didn't break the law. What they did, what they're supposed to do is pay royalties. So that's why bands can just go copy another person's song. They don't even need permission, but they do have to pay them a percentage. And it's all very, there's a
How
very
do you know this stuff?
I don't know. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it kind of is.
I need to get a life, don't I?
I like, do you imagine if I was walking around and talking about, I'm sorry. What would be the Jill version?
I thought it makes me more attractive to you that I know stuff. Yep. That, you know, boys think that and they don't. And women, it couldn't be farther from the truth. Women don't care what you know.
About royalties.
They don't even really care what you look like.
And trademarks.
All women care about.
Just tell me I look good.
And their man is the compliments.
Yes.
And pay attention to me. I'm a woman.
Maybe
I'm
take
your woman.
Me out. Tell me I look great. Mm-hmm. Buy me something nice now and then.
Don't talk under no circumstances.
You don't need to teach me about trademarks or copywriting or music laws. That's great. That's great, sweetheart.
We were just having breakfast next to some people that I don't know how this guy even doesn't get kicked out of his own house. Just sitting there talking and talking and talking about like some stuff. Woodworking or something.
Yeah.
His wife is just sitting there looking at him.
Yeah. I've seen some of those recently, too. We've been traveling a lot. Like, we're here in San Francisco today. And I have looked at these people going, and yeah, you're right. A couple in particular with a woman just sits there.
Yeah.
She's the one that he's talked her out.
Yep.
She's got nothing left.
Yep.
She can't even nod.
She's been beaten down figuratively
exactly.
For 25 years.
Let's not let that happen to us. So I love you.
That's why I have the show. I say all this stupid stuff on the show.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. So all this trademark and copyrights and the music thing that you know, that's great, sweetheart. You can save that for yourself.
Today's topic, land investment opportunity, county by county. This is the meat of the show. We talked yesterday about state by state. Let's break it down by county. So in the country, Oh, this is just tapping into the stuff I said we shouldn't even do as a couple. Talk about boring stuff like this.
I know. Here we go. 3144.
Oh, go ahead. Tell us how to say 3144. Go ahead. I want to hear it. Jill, how many counties and parishes are there in the country?
3144.
How many counties are in Texas?
Oh, gosh.
254.
Okay, thank you.
It's the state with the most counties. What's the state with the least amount of counties? See, I do know this stuff.
This is great.
It's Arizona.
Is it really?
13, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's pretty darn cool.
One actually succeeded. I think there was originally 11, and two of them, like Grand Count, a long time ago when during the railroad boom, they succeeded.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not that really that interesting. What is interesting
it is.
About this is
well,
that they
it,
all have different
important?
Laws.
Yeah.
Well, here's why. They all have different laws and rules about how they divest property that goes back for back taxes. What the hell does that mean, Steve? Every single time you record a show, you talk about how back tax property is not what you should concentrate on. So why do you constantly talk about back tax property?
Yeah, quit
then?
Bringing it up.
Here's why. And I say that, talk about this in our education program. When there's a lot of back tax property in any given county, and then that's who manages back tax property. That's why counties are so important. That's also who records the property. The county seat is where they make all the decisions about whether you can rezone it or zone it. And if you're in a real urban area, the city's involved too. But the vast majority of rural vacant land is just all driven by the county. It's county property. So it's important to understand what goes on at these counties if you're going to make some money buying and selling property. That's why.
It's true.
And some counties have a real negative attitude toward the state government. So even though the rules are written by the state, the county has to implement what they, and they don't like that sometimes. So you can look at one county, let's say in Arizona, and how they handle the property that's no longer on the tax roll, and go to the next county over, and they, although they're supposed to do it the exact same way, they handle it differently. So it's important.
It's almost like, it's like companies within a company. It's like run by a little company, basically, almost, and they run them a little business. They run them all very, very differently.
Right.
You are exactly right. And some of them, you think that, okay, this county's online. They're on the ball. Maybe this whole state is on the ball. No, it's not.
Exactly.
That county may not even be online. They're still dealing with paper, you know, transactions and putting them in books, like literally still putting them in books. So it's
when I first started, I just assumed, I don't know how I got it in my head, that all this back tax property, the county's going to be happy to get rid of all this property, get it back on the tax rolls.
Right.
And because they're going to make more money, right? Well, that's logical. That's not the case. How they, most of them see it is, man, that's just a lot of extra work I have to do.
I got to do more work. Isn't that funny? That's so true.
I collect millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars at these back tax auctions or online. It's just amazing how much money they collect, and they still are just like, that's not why they're there.
Funny. And you know what I think too? Like, imagine some of the counties, you know, some of the counties, when you're doing a deed, you would think that they want to make it easier. Let's do as many properties as we can on one deed and just record it once, update everything. That's it. No, they limit them and they charge more and all this good stuff. And yeah. And then the next county over, it's a whole different thing.
Yep.
It is hilarious.
Like for example, I use Arizona, obviously, a lot. We do a lot of buying and selling in Arizona. And Arizona has a tax lien law. So first, you can buy the lien, and when the lien gets old enough, it goes to a deed. And then the county divests it that way through their OTC program, over-the-counter. So just about every county in Arizona has an over-the-counter program that no one knows about. Jill and I buy property there all the time. Almost every month we buy property all over the state with almost no competition. So my whole point to this week, you know, land investment by the numbers, is to look at it as if you were scrolling into Google Earth. So first you start with the country, then you start with states, and we're down to county by county. It's obviously, I can't obviously discuss every county. It would be crazy. There's just not enough time, and it would bore Jill to tears. More than she is right now.
What would you just say? Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
What would you say for someone picking a county, we picked a state, you know, based on what we talked about yesterday, they with the access, they picked a good state that has a lot of access. Maybe they picked Oklahoma or Arkansas or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So now they're drilling down to the counties. What would be a trigger for you? Like for me, one is how communicative, whatever, is the county? Can I get them on the phone if I have questions?
Yeah.
Number one. Are they online?
That's a good
one.
Can
I pull deeds as I need them? Can I double check the taxes and everything really easily, make sure they're online? Can I see their GIS if I want to use that?
Yeah, do they have a GIS, system? County GIS system?
So those are some of the things that I think about.
Yeah.
So what are other indications for someone now that they're picking a county? What else should they look at?
I mean, it's very indicative of the roles that we have in this company.
I know.
Because those things, I don't even look at them.
I know. I know. That's exactly why I brought that up. But if, for me, when I'm going to do the transaction, I go, oh, shucks, I can't find, you know, whatever.
The very first thing I do is I look at a census map and a census map, a population density map. We have all 50 states and all the counties are on countywise.com and open to the public. So again, if you use Texas, you're going to see where it's real dark green. Those are the most rural counties. Am I saying absolutely mail those counties? No, but that is one single indicator. If you look at Arizona, the most rural county there is Coconino, which is where the Grand Canyon is. It's also one of the lowest numbered properties, okay? There's just not a lot of property there. There's a ton of property there, but not compared to some of the other counties in Arizona. So I don't necessarily mail Coconino too often at all, if ever, for that reason. It's also extremely expensive because because of the Grand Canyon, because everybody knows and loves the Grand Canyon. Then I look at how many back tax properties there are. Again, on countywise, there's a reference there. And so for some reason, Coconino, again, doesn't have a lot of back tax property. I personally know people in Flagstaff who run the back tax department, mm-hmm. and I know why, because they're darn good at it.
Mm-hmm.
There's other counties like Mojave, for example. And am I saying male Mojave? Not at all. Who, for whatever reason, are not as effective as at divesting their back tax property as Coconino mm-hmm. is. That's as nice as I can put it.
That's good. That's good.
So everybody's got a way of doing stuff. All these things kind of factor into it. Mm-hmm. When there's a lot of back tax property, there's something going on. And there's usually money to be made in these places.
It's true.
So the exception is places like Wayne County in Michigan, which is where Detroit is.
Right.
Where there's always tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of properties that are on off the tax roll. Because it's just a nasty place to be. And
exactly.
I can say that because I'm from there. I would never pick on any place. If I have personal experience here, and this is my show, and I can say that.
Well, you know what's interesting, too? You would think that you want, I want a buyer's market. There's a lot of properties. Because then I could pick up a bot cheap. Well, hold on a moment. In 5 minutes, you're going to be trying to sell it. So you're trying to find that sweet spot in there. You want to have enough property, right, is what you're saying, Stephen, available. But not too many property, because you're going to be rolling yours into the mix.
Right.
So, and you don't want a lot. I get excited. One of the things I was just thinking about, too, is when you're looking at a county and you're looking at an area, I like to go see what's available out there. And if I can't find very many, that's good.
Absolutely.
I love that.
In our education program, the name of this show is not how to pick a county to send mail.
Right.
That's not what the topic is, and it's kind of going toward that, and that's okay. But, Jill and I just spent time in two Northern California counties
mm-hmm.
on this little trip run.
Many,
right,
a few.
And I'll tell you what, I've never visited these counties. We've mm-hmm. done deals in all of them, actually,
yeah.
Many deals.
Like Shasta County? I'd never been
Shasta,
there.
Shasta, Modoc, Lassen, I've done deals in all yeah. these counties. And man, oh man, I mean, it's gorgeous up there.
Right.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And so now, because the property is so compelling, when you see it, Now I'm going to downplay potential population density situation, maybe the GIS issue. I'm going to start to overlook those things because the property's itself is so beautiful. And I tell you, it's going to mentally change how much I offer for it.
That's true.
I'm not going to scrape the bottom so much.
Yeah, there's some beautiful stuff. Talk about water.
How many times have we stopped the car? I hate stopping the car. I'm a typical guy.
I know you are.
I willingly stopped the car for Jill probably 20 or 30 times because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love land. That's mm-hmm. why. That's how we got into this mess. I know you do too.
Get us out of this mess. That's another show.
The next show is called, I'm going to save a lot of my comments about infill lots and urban land for tomorrow's show, which is land investment opportunity by zip code. Zip code by zip code. Well, you've done it again. You've spent another 15 or so minutes with us listening to the Land Academy show. And I just told you, tomorrow's interesting episode is land investment opportunity, zip code by zip code.
And we answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You're cracking me up, Jill.
Thank you.
Jill makes me change little things in the script before we record. I don't know why, because you sound like 10 times better than me. Your worst day on the air is better, twice as good as my best day.
Aww.
And I'm not the one who says this stuff. People email me this kind of thing all the time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, I shouldn't be checking my cell phone, but I have to share. I've got this seller reaching out to me.
Tell us. This is good stuff.
She just said, I'm out of cell range. Because I text her a message saying, hey, I need that updated purchase agreement for this property we're buying from you, because the escrow agent needs it. And she's like, no problem. I'm out of cell range. Sorry, I missed your call. I'll call you in an hour when I'm in range again.
This deal, awesome. I'm going to talk all about it tomorrow.
But cool.
I'm going to tease the listener for a second. We sent out a bunch of mailers in an urban area, four houses, specifically to make $25,000 to $50,000 bucks on a wholesale flip. We do this all the time. This property's on, and happens to be, had no idea, on an acre.
2 acres.
It's on an acre.
Oh, that was two.
No, it's one.
Okay, one. Okay.
And we can, without even changing the owning, without changing the zoning, just filling out some paperwork. Well, I'll talk about it tomorrow.
Thank you. Share the fun by subscribing at iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.